Right now, you've heard it mentioned already that the youth had just a fantastic winter retreat last weekend. Our youth group in partnership with a Morgan Hill youth group, which is pretty cool. Pastor Steve Gullickson is our youth pastor. His younger brother, Nick Gullickson, was the youth pastor at the Church of Morgan Hill. So brothers got together with brothers and had a great snow retreat last week. And I wanted to have a couple of the folks come up and share a little bit. Deanna and Sam and Christian, if you guys would come on up. And I wanted them to share a little bit about what happened in their lives. God has been moving in our church. Amen? He's just been, you can feel the momentum every week. Great things happen. And I was excited for the youth to go away and just to have that experience separated from the world and be with God. And before they left, did you enjoy the youth worship leading last week? Pretty great, right? Really special. And Deanna Durante has been instrumental. No pun intended, of making that happen. Pastor Steve has given her the opportunity to use her gifts and talents. And she's just growing leaps and bounds in her sensitivity to the Spirit, her understanding about how to connect the people of God with God through the avenues of song and worship. And she's just learning so much. But Deanna, I know that because I get this a lot in my own life as being the pastor of the church, that sometimes you give your best and those little devils come in your mind and they mess with you. Tell us a little bit about what happened between the service last week and then as you were going to the youth retreat.
So I remember after last Sunday, a lot of people came up to me and they were like, "You did so good, like you were so great." And of course, those compliments were really good to hear, but there's just something in my head telling me they're only saying that because they want you to feel good, or they're only saying that because that's what they're supposed to do. And it's not, I felt like I was only doing it because it was kind of by default and they needed someone to do it rather than me actually being able and responsible to do the job. So mm-hmm. I was just feeling really kind of insecure, I guess is the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. Sometimes you do your best, you give of your heart, mm-hmm. and then there's that negativity, you know, that comes in. And so you went to the retreat, but God began to work with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us a little bit about what he was doing in your heart and your mind as you went.
Yeah, so I remember our second day there on the Wednesday, I was in a small group with a couple of my friends and my leader, Faith, and I was just telling them about how I've been feeling insecure about my future and my path I'm going to take, and how it's been difficult to hear. I could feel Jesus' the presence of the Lord, but I couldn't hear his voice in my head. So I've been having a hard time knowing that he actually has a plan for me and that I'm here for a reason and I actually have a purpose. So then Faith told me that God does have a plan for me and that you just have to trust that it's not just knowing that God has a plan for you, but it's trusting and believing that that plan is what's right for you because it's from God. And then later that night during worship, I was playing the guitar, and I just felt God say, "Open your eyes." And I looked at all the students just giving their worship and bowing down and giving their praise to the Lord. And then I heard God just say to me, "Look at what you're doing right now. Like you're leading them to me. That's no small thing. Like your job is not just something I would give to anybody." So yeah. And then that was like the first time the whole trip that I heard God's voice so clearly. And then after that, our guest speaker, Pastor Pat Barrett, he was praying for everyone. And then he right away, he looked directly at me and he said, "You, young lady, there's something in you that's not normal for a high school senior." And he told me that there's something in me that he hadn't seen before. And he said that he doesn't know God's plan for me, but he knows that it's going to be so great. And then that's when I realized, like, God doesn't just isn't just going to speak to you directly in your head. He's going to use people around you to speak to me. And it just felt like such a clear sign, because Pastor Pat didn't know anything about me, but he knew exactly what to say. And so that was just the moment I knew that that was God.
Mm, yeah, awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. And isn't it evident that, you know, we don't want to elevate people, you know, and I know Deanna, she's the last person who wants to be, look at me, look at me. But you can sense the Spirit of God. You can sense the anointing. And Deanna, you have an anointing on your life. You have an anointing. Because when you lead worship, you seem to disappear. And the presence of God seems to appear when you do that. And we felt that last week. And so I pray that you'd never, ever listen to those lies again. But trust the voice that you've heard from the Savior. Amen. That's awesome. Well, Christian and Sam are with me also. And some really great things happened in their lives as a result of the retreat too. And so, Chris, as you shared with me the context of what you will go through, I'd like you to do that. You're one of the youth sponsors, and I'm so appreciative, you know, of your giving your time and giving your life. It's a sacrifice, man, to go and volunteer to youth camp.
Yes, it is.
Dude. But you've got three boys in the group, so I get it, man. There's powerful investment there. Share with us a little bit about what God was doing in you, and especially as you went to the camp and the Lord began to, you know, talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, church family. Also, I'm missing Evan up here, who said he'd be up here sitting at the front just to give me some moral support. Disappointment.
Dude.
Here he comes. So as the youth would say, it was low-key a great trip, no cap. If you don't know what that means, come on Wednesdays or come to the next youth.
I have no clue what that means.
All right, so it was really great. We were there Tuesday through Thursday. So Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we had services with the youth. And, at Tuesday night, Pastor Pat from Napa came those 2 days, 3 days. And on Tuesday night, he was talking about the Samaritan woman at the well. And he kind of pointed out a few things. First, that Jesus comes and works sometimes when we least expect it, like Saul on his way to Damascus. In the case of the Samaritan woman, she's trying to get away from people. And then the second thing he mentions is, and then when he does encounter us in that unexpected way, he points out the hidden, the broken, and the gross. So right away in my kind of mature adult, you know, Christian mind, I'm like, well, okay, what's going on? What kind of broken, gross things do I have? Is it like lust? Is it anger? Is it pride? You know, you kind of go through that list of symptoms. And I didn't really land on anything at the time. But what I did feel is, just spend time with me. And as soon as I got that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm putting the cart before the horse, right? The horse is supposed to pull the cart in that analogy, if you don't know. And the cart in this case would be like, you know, the symptoms, the sin is like you're thinking, oh, I need to deal with that first. No. You got to go to Jesus first. He's like the horse in the analogy. You got to put him first, and then the rest will follow. And so I went up front. I'm like, you're supposed to be a leader, but, you know, I just felt like I'm going to go up front and kneel down and just spend time with God. And that was the first night, and it felt really peaceful and good to do that. Fast forward to the next night, Wednesday night, kind of had that same mentality. I was like, you know, I just want to spend time with Jesus. You know, I'm not going to go in there. And that's another thing that Pastor Pat said is like, it's don't come here expecting something big. And because one of the examples he gave is Matthias, who was chosen as a disciple after Judas Iscariot died, obviously. So nothing gets mentioned about Matthias, but what does get mentioned is that he gets picked out because he had spent all the time with Jesus. So he just was faithful and obedient. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not expect anything big. Just be there with God. And so I was in the back. And at some point, Pastor Pat invited folks to come up. And a bunch of kids came up. And I saw my son Yulp, and I saw Onose, and I saw a couple other kids that I could pray for. And so I did. And then I sat back down next to Xander and prayed for him. We were sitting together. And then I was kind of like, okay, I think we're good now. And then I started, you know, on my heart. My niece has been on my heart for a while. So, like, kind of when I pray, I think about her, and I started to pray for her. And when I was done, I look up and I see Sem. And he was kind of over there on my right. And just like a joy came up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to go pray for this guy. And along with that thought also was a thought of, I want to bless him. And you know how, like, I think it was Isaac and Esau and Jacob, the blessing thing happened. That just popped into my mind for a second. I was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense here. But let me go bless him. And so I walk over to Sam, and he's just kind of like sitting down. Most kids had gone up, and he was sitting down off to the side. And so I put my hands on him, and I started to pray for him. I didn't pray for anything specific. I just prayed for a blessing, and I prayed for peace. And you know, when you get, you feel God, for me at least, it just feels like this well of joy and peace inside that you can't explain, right? Because it's a peace that's beyond understanding. And it was there, and I was like, I'm going to get this guy, right? And I pray that over him, and then I feel him kind of start to move his shoulders a little bit, like he's crying, and I'm like, I just give him a pat. Yeah, he was crying. and then I you know, I'm like, all right, I'll leave the man alone, and I'll go back to my seat, and then Sam will pick up the story from there.
All right. So if you don't know, Sem and Christian are father and son. Okay? I don't know if everybody knew that. So Sem, we pick up the story. You're praying. Why were you there? What was the purpose of you being at an altar at that time?
Well, there was obviously the altar call. But also the night before we had another altar call, I went up to that altar call and I didn't feel anything. I was a little disappointed, I guess. And the second night, I was like, oh, I really want what the people around me are getting. I really want to feel an encounter or get an encounter with God. And so I was desperate. I just kept praying. I kept praying. I didn't go up to the altar or didn't go up for the altar call, but I sat in my seat. I stayed there and I just prayed the whole way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yours was just a seeking time. And similar to your dad, when it was get the horse before the cart, seek God. And then let everything else happen. So you were there just to seek him. No requests, no nothing.
No, just to seek him. I wasn't really praying for anything in particular, just to have the Holy Spirit fill me and just for his presence in general.
Okay. So that prayer time ends, and something happened to you. Give the group a little bit of context and tell them what happened.
Yeah, so my dad, he prayed for me. I started bawling my eyes out because that happens. then soon after, I don't even know what the timeline was there. I think like a couple, 10 minutes maybe later. Everyone's out of the room already. I think Pastor Steve, Pastor Pat are still there. Chanson's next to me. He's a short dude. My best friend. He was next to me. He was hugging me. And I could feel him hugging me. And I was like, oh, I think everyone's gone. So I opened my eyes. And immediately to my right, there was a wall, which was yellow before because I was colorblind, and it wasn't yellow anymore. And Chanson, who was next to me, his eyes, he was crying a lot, so his eyes were red from crying, and I could see that it wasn't gray anymore.
So let's help the people understand.
Oh, yeah.
Since birth, as long as you know, you've been colorblind.
I've been colorblind for 16 years. I was diagnosed with it 2 years ago. And for me, red, pink, any colors or shades that are close to red or pink were gray for me, mm-hmm. different shades of gray. Green was yellow for me. So overall, to me, it was normal, but also hearing what other people you know, how they described those colors that I couldn't see, it was like, wow. What I'm seeing is a lot. It's a more depressed version of what everyone else gets to see, and it was, I don't know, everyone. No offense, but you guys all look kind of dead.
Hey, I've red cheeks. What did I look like?
Like an alien. but yeah, people with, you know, red cheeks would look, they would have a gray undertone. And that's how I saw the world. But as I said, I was diagnosed 2 years ago. So before that, learning colors through kindergarten, it was like I really had to store a lot more things in my mind. I had to remember a lot more things, like, for example, like a heart is supposed to be red. I had to remember that, but to me it was gray. Things like that I had to store in the back of my mind. I had to memorize different shades of gray are more likely to be red or pink, or trees are green, but I see them as yellow. I had to memorize those things, and that's how I got through most of my life.
Yeah. So after you were done praying, you could see red.
Yeah, I could see a color that I've never seen before.
You've never seen red in your life, and now you can see red.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can never see green before, and now grass is green, not yellow. Trees are green, not yellow.
Yeah, there's an overwhelming amount of green in this world, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And God did that while you were seeking him, while your dad prayed for you, you were seeking him, and he gave you a healing.
Yeah, he gave me something I didn't ask for. Pastor Pat was talking earlier in the sermon. He's saying God answers questions that we never, like questions we never had or answers we never expected. And he gave me healing that I wasn't asking for, that I thought I'm going to be stuck colorblind for the rest of my life. I'm going to have to deal with it. But God healed me. And it really, I don't know, it showed me what God can truly do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Church, is that awesome or what? Come on. Amazing. So I want to show you a video. Sim had an eye doctor appointment already scheduled before the retreat. For right, like literally an hour or so after the retreat was done here. And he goes to see his eye doctor, and you'll have to be real quiet that the sound isn't really good. But here's a video that Lihoy took of Sam having his first checkup with the eye doctor after the retreat.
I'll start here. You can just trace with your fingers, or you can just let me know what shapes you see and what color.
If you don't. Thanks.
Yep.
X and triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Triangle and O. Just a symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was tricky.
X. Circle and triangle. X.
I know, isn't it?
Well, of course he passed the flying colors. That's what God does. Lihoy sent me the text, and the doctor said, this is medically unexplainable. And that's what God does. But we know that God doesn't heal just to heal. He always heals for a reason. And so I want to ask you, what's your faith like now? What's going on inside as a result in regard to you and your trust in the Lord?
My faith in God is definitely stronger. Before the retreat, I had a couple weeks that were kind of I wasn't doing too good. School obviously is always kind of bad. and what God gave me was just an overwhelming joy that I've never had in my life. He gave me a rest from being a little down to being all the way up here in happiness. And he showed me, and he's showing you guys through me, that there's nothing that he can't do.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, brother. Everybody. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise his name. So good. Church, God is moving. And I want you to understand how he's moving. He's not moving because we seek the miraculous. He's moving because we seek him. That's how God works. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 1, they didn't know what to expect. They just sought him. And the Holy Spirit moved. And he moved in power. As we seek the Lord without agenda, without manipulation, without anything for ourselves, we can expect God to do great things. We're not going to, it's already 4:15. I don't think it's going to matter. How does that work, Miko? Because I'm going to be done in 5 minutes. I'm not preaching now. The sermon's been... These people will string me up and I'll need a miracle. Here's what I want to leave you though. I know you've got your notes. I know it's chapter 5. I just want to leave you with these two thoughts. And it's basically what Christian just said in his testimony about the purity in the body. For God to move, we do need to be pure. But we need to put the horse before the cart. And seek God. Two things I want to leave you today. One, from Acts chapter 5, is the purity of the body and the power in the world. And it's all Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, it's a story of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira falsely tried to make themselves look more righteous than they were. They were ugly inside. They were selfish inside. They were, what's in it for me? I want some praise. I want some glory. As God began to move in the church and people were selling properties and bringing the money, and there was lots of praise and lots of glory and lots of testimonies like Deanna's and like Sims and like Christians. And others said, I want to be a part of that. But to be a part of that, they felt the need to manipulate. And that manipulation brought severe judgment. So severe that they died. Both of them, both husband and wife. Peter rebuked them saying, Why did you think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? I mean, how do you even do that? The fact of the matter is they wanted to appear more righteous and more holy and present some kind of a spiritual story when they knew it was false. Church, repentance is a good thing. Repentance is a powerful thing. And repentance comes as we seek our Lord and Savior. These people were seeking him constantly. And God needs a pure church. How many people have lost their desire for God, not because of God, but because of a false Christian? Because someone manipulated or just lived a life that didn't look good on Jesus. The purity in the body is crucial. And each one of us should do as Christian did and evaluate ourselves and say, God, is there anything in me? Is there anything there that I need to get rid of? Lord, purify me. But do that not in the context of self, that I want to be better, I want to be pure, but so that I don't want anything standing between myself and my Savior. And as David prayed, Lord, I'm here to seek you. See if there's any wicked way and cleanse those things. Because because I want to be close. The purity in the body. If there is anything that is wrong or bitter or gross in your life, seek God today and let Him do the washing. You can confess it, but He does the cleaning. You can say it, but He's going to do the work inside. Do the healing that you need. The second part of the book of Acts said after that happened, it says that the people were fearful. They were fearful, but they embraced this new truth, this truth of Jesus. And miracles began to still occur, and great and wondrous things were happening, which made the Sadducees and Pharisees even more mad. And they again seized Peter and the apostles. They put them in prison. And when they put them in prison, God says, no, that's not going to happen. And He opened the doors of the prison, and the guards were still there and didn't know what was happening. And they went back out to the very place where they were arrested from and still preached Jesus. And when the Sanhedrin came to say, bring those men before us, they said, well, we'd like to, but they're not there. They're gone. Where are they? Right back out preaching where you told them not to. So they took them once again and brought them in, this time with threats that had some teeth behind them. They said, you're trying to make us guilty of this man's blood, the name of Jesus. And they said, yeah, because you crucified Him. Isn't it interesting how people just will not admit their wrongs? And these Pharisees couldn't do it. So they wanted to kill Him on the spot. But through some discussion, they decided, we won't kill Him. We'll just beat Him really, really bad. Like flog them, the 39 lashes. And the response of those disciples was to rejoice. Can you even believe that? The response of that beating was to rejoice. And here's what they said. We consider it a joy to have suffered for the name. What can you do with people like that? If you don't touch them, they preach Jesus. If you beat them, they preach Jesus. And we'll find next week that even when you stone them to death, in the midst of that, they'll preach Jesus. Church, it's all about Jesus. In these times that are strange and they're awkward and they're weird, we want to protest and we want to have our rights and we want to go speak this and speak that because you got to do something. And Jesus is saying, there's one thing you do. Preach Me. Preach Me. It's My name that's the power. It's My name that delivers. It's My name that changes lives. It's My name that changes governments. And the disciples did that. The Sanhedrin said, stop this. And they said, it's the name of Jesus. The lame beggar was healed, and they received praise. They don't praise us. It's the name of Jesus. They put Him in jail, and they went back out again. It's Jesus. And they were flogged and beaten. And after that, they said, it's only Jesus. It's a pretty simple message this morning, church. It's Jesus. That's it. That's it. So simple. If you're a child here today, there was a reason God wanted you here. And little ones, I don't know if you're understanding everything. But I hope you understand, God can talk to you. God can do miracles in your life. But He does them as you seek Him. He is the focus. He is the reason. Young people, you've learned it. You're growing. And the awesome things that God is doing through your lives is because of seeking Jesus. And adults, sometimes we can kind of get on our way. And we can kind of get too smart for ourselves. When Jesus said, be like little children. Keep it simple. Yeah, I know there's crazy stuff in the world. Keep it simple. Keep My name in your mouth. Let My name, My power be your power. Purity in the church, power in the world. That's the message of chapter 5. I want to pray and we're done. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, as we call upon Your name, we open our hearts to You, Lord, to touch anything in us that we need to confess. Lord, forgive us when we get like the Pharisees and Sadducees and we get angry that anyone would somehow suppose that we have anything dark inside of us. You know our hearts. You know our minds. And God, as we hunger more for You, as we desire You, we pray in Jesus' name, that you would cleanse us. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can only confess. You are the cleanser. You are the washer with the water of the word. You are the washer with your spilled blood. God, as we press into you, wipe us clean, change us, and make us whole. Thank you, Lord, that we're already forgiven. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God, we know that we need purity in the church. God, so that we can go out and be the power in the world. Not our power, your power. I pray, Lord, that each one of us, as we go to our schools and our jobs, our homes, our neighborhoods, that we would walk in the power of the name of Jesus. The power to love, the power to be compassionate, the power even, Lord, to pray and see you do miraculous things. Lord, forgive us when our focus is on those things and not on you. It's your name that's the power. Lord, we hunger for you and submit to you to do what you will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Let's begin to worship him and seek him. Just do it in your heart. You can speak out loud. Just feel the Lord would have it just shift right into times of seeking. God, we love you. We love you, Lord. Our hearts desire you. We know there's nothing else. There's no other power than your power. We don't seek you for your power, Lord. We seek you for you. We open our hearts to everything you want to do, and we know you are the sovereign creator of the universe. As you changed Deanna's heart, and you healed Sem's eyes, but more so, God, you gave them an infusion of faith that they didn't have. Thank you, God, for doing that through so many others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go into our seeking time right now. Let's do that. Realize that some of you may have to go. Some of you have your children in the house. If you want to gather them, that's okay. But parents, I'd like to offer this opportunity to you. I know kids can get a little bit, you know, just they wiggle. That's what kids do. But I tell you, I remember being 5, 6, 7 years old, vividly in church, crying out to God. It's okay to let your kids seek too. It's okay. Let's turn this into a house of prayer. If you've got to go, consider yourself dismissed. But let's pray for purity in the body and power in the world. Pastor Sean, if you begin to lead us, formal part of our service is concluded. But I believe that God still wants to move. So God bless you if you have to go. But those that can stay, we're going to seek. All right? So God bless you either way. Let's seek his face.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. We'll sing like never before. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. We'll sing like never before. Worship your home. For you're rich in love and you're slow to anger.
Your name is great.
Your name is great. And your heart is kind.
For all your goodness.
For all your goodness. I will keep on singing.
10,000 reasons.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh worship His holy name. Worship your holy name. Says the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, oh worship His holy name. We'll sing like never before, oh my soul, oh worship your holy name. On that day when my strength is failing,
the end draws near.
The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Worship you, God. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me, our great is our God. And all will see our great. Our great is our God. For there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. Look ahead, I look ahead, believing. That I need. Your name is Jesus, Lord of all. Is our God. Sing with me. Is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. How great. Is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how. Place, so Lord God, I pray that we may never be the same. The beauty of a mountaintop experience is it moves us forward in our faith, and it's easy to come back and say, oh, things are still the same, but they're not, because you've changed us. Holy God, I know that it's now our job to go into this Silicon Valley and to be love, to be Christ to those around us, because I promise they are not expecting it. There's greed in this valley. There's hate in this valley. There's anger. There's sorrow. There's depression. There's addiction. And you come to bring life.
bringing in abundance as we go and step into whatever community that we find ourselves in. Because we are the salt and the light that you've given us the ability to be. And I pray, Father, that as we go today, Holy Spirit, empower us to hear the words you're speaking to those around us so that we can be a part of what you're doing. But God, I pray that we would first seek you, allow you to be our hope, our strength. May you be glorified, Heavenly Father, in all that you've done. It's in Jesus' mighty name, everyone said. Amen. Amen. God bless you.